Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord, and we're going to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. We thank you for apostolic order. We thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, for our apostle, Lord God, for this school, ever-increasing word training center, and each student. And I trust, Lord, that they're getting everything that they need, that they'll be successful, and not only just successful, but prosperous, walking in the blessing and the honor of God in their life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, class, we're going to get started on the lesson for today. And if you want a title for this lesson, it's going to be How to Reap Honor Rewards, A Harvest from Honor Seeds Sown. How to Reap Honor Rewards. One of the things I want to point out, honor just does not happen. What I mean by that, it doesn't happen automatically. There is a process. There's things that has to be done in order that you can demonstrate and reap the rewards of honor in your life. Absolutely, you know, there's something that you have to do, a part that you have to play. You must first learn how to sow honor seeds consistently and consecutively over a period of time before you can walk in true honor rewards. And that's one of the things we're going to be looking at today. When you develop generational anointings from father to son and pass it down to your children, whether it's our physical sons and daughters from birth or our spiritual sons and daughters in ministry, there is a seven step, or I should say, a seven point, or really a seven step developmental plan to develop the seed of honor. And the first step in developing the seed, the first step in developing the rewards of honor is that, number one, you first must be called of God. That's so very important. Okay. When I say called, I'm talking about have a call of God on your life, either in the fivefold ministry gifts or that you're called into the ministry of helps. So right then and there, that pretty much puts everybody inside the boat, because if you're born again, God expects you to be a contributor, part of his, part of God's army in fulfilling the plan of God for your life. One of the things I always tell students and people, you know, God is going to call you and put you under a ministry and under a man of God. And hopefully you'll be put under apostolic order, where there's an apostle who's at the head, and you have prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You know, you have the fivefold ministry gifts in place for the equipping and the edifying of the body of Christ, so that each particular office or ministry of health's position can be properly ordered, and that you can flow in honor more betterly. But the first thing that has to take place is you must first have a call of God on your life to walk in either the ministry of helps. You know, in other words, you have to know what, and one of the things I always say is that the most important thing in a person's destiny in life is that they fulfill the will of God for their lives. You know, you don't want to just be out there just doing anything. No, you want to be being busy about the Father's business. And by doing so, you're going to produce honor. But the first avenue is to know, where am I called and what am I called to do? That is so important, so very important. All right, I'm going to be reading a little bit here. So the first step in developing the seed of honor, or, you know, how to reap the rewards of honor, is that you must be called. You are more anointed doing what you are called to do than any other time in your life. And that's so very important that you know you are more anointed doing what you're called to do, because whom God calls, he also will equip. Okay, so when you're called into a particular area of ministry, God will make sure, not all at once, but as you mature, as you grow, as you show faithfulness and stewardship, God now is going to equip you to fulfill his plan and purpose for your life. So that's for first and foremost. Okay, let me give you a definition of what it means to be called. A strong inner urge or prompting from the Holy Spirit to fulfill your vocation, your assignment, a divine call. to be called or summoned by God into ministry. It is a leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, or assignment. So it's a call, you know, and for those people who are not quite sure what God is calling them to do, that's a key that you need to spend time and get before God and find out, Lord, what would you have me to do? What area of ministry and how do you best want me to serve my apostle, my pastor, the person or persons you have me under so that I can reap the rewards of honor? And that's one of the first key elements is finding out what that call is. You are called to serve into a ministry of helps. God's blessing you with gifts and special talents for a reason, so that you can undergird your man of God that you are called to serve under. You know, and I said everybody's called into the ministry of helps, but then you have those who even further are called into the fivefold ministry, who God gives more specific instructions about what their divine assignment is to be. It says in Proverbs 11 and 4, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. God calls you into ministry, but he will use other ministry gifts, or I should say an apostolic gift, to confirm that calling. When I first joined Word of Life several years ago, I knew in my heart that there was a call. Didn't know what I was going to be doing and didn't know what capacity I was going to be doing it at. I just wanted to serve, you know. And I never forget one of my first meetings with Apostle. Back then, he was pastor of Word of Life Christian Center, the first church down in the city of Darrell. He looked me in the face and he said, "Son, you have a call of God on your life." He said, "But you need to be pastored, so somebody can help nurture you in that calling. So you need to be pastored. You just can't, just don't go out and just start something just because you got a call. You have to be groomed into the position." And I'm so very thankful and grateful for those words of wisdom from Apostle, because over the last 30 years, he's had that opportunity to groom me and to shape me, to rebuke me, to help mold me in areas of ministry that otherwise I'd have just been spinning my wheels. So I encourage each and every person to find your man of God. And if you do feel like you have a call of God, especially in the fivefold ministry gifts, let him know. And believe me, if the call is there, your man of God, your pastor will know it. And they will help to nurture you into that particular calling. OK. All right. It says in Ephesians 4:7, "But unto every one of us is given grace," which grace being a special endowment or anointing, "according to the measure of the gift of Christ." OK, moving on. "Wherefore," he said, "when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men." I'm reading out of Ephesians 4. That was actually verse 8, I believe. Verse 9 says, "Now he that ascended," is talking about Jesus who ascended, "what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things." And verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers." It goes on to say, "for the perfecting." That word perfecting means for the maturing. When you perfect something, you're maturing it. You're helping it to grow. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying," or the building up of the body "for the edifying of the building up of the body of Christ." Verse 13, "till we all come into the unity," or to the oneness of the faith, "and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man." God wants us to mature, and it takes ministry gifts, people who are called by God, who know their calling, to help nurture those who are trying to and wanting to walk in that call. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints. me start off with 13 again. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you are called into ministry, you have been given a special assignment by God as a gift. And you're really a gift to the body of Christ. Okay, you're a gift. But it's up to you to develop that gift and to use that gift. But the first aspect is knowing and confirming and understanding that you have been called. A calling from God is the first step towards being successful in ministry. If you are not called, it's no way that you will be successful in something you are not called to do. Whom God calls, he equips. So if you're not called, you're not going to have the equipment to do the assignment properly. It would be, God would not be God if he called you to do something and didn't give you the equipment you need in order to carry it out. People who are struggling in ministry and spinning their wheels and things are not happening, sometimes you wonder, did you really get called and did you really follow the call the way God told you to follow the call? If God told you to follow a certain man or a certain pastor, were you obedient in that area? I'll never forget, and I've said it before, because as you know, I've told you, I am a repeater. I remember when the Lord told me, I went to Word of Life, really right after, between Christmas and New Year's, back in maybe 1989, something like that. But anyway, I'm sitting maybe three quarters of the way back in the service, and I hear a voice saying, this is where you need to be. I turned around because I thought the person behind me was talking to me. But he was listening to Pastor Thompson, Dr. Thompson at the time. And I said, Lord, that's you speaking to me. I said, okay, I got it. Went home, mentioned it to my wife. I said, the Lord spoke to me. I'm a man of faith and power. The Lord spoke to me and told me that a Word of Life is what we needed to be. My wife looked at me and said, yeah, I know. I've been waiting on you all this while. You know, so I didn't say anything about it. We were quiet about it. The next Sunday, she said, well, we're going to church. I said, we're going to Word of Life. And then after the service or after the message, Dr. Thompson gave the invitation. I stood up. I just kind of looked at her and she stood up. Then we went forward. And while, he prayed with us and we joined the church, he looked at me and said, son, you should have been here. He said, the day I spoke to you, which was about a year and a half or so ago, the Lord told me that you were going to be one of my members. And everything on the inside of me wanted to get up and leave, because I'm saying, the Lord just spoke to me last week, you know. But one thing about a man, a genuine man of God, you know, they have a heaven and earth connection. God, I never forget, one of our members says, a lot of people speak to God, but God speaks to apostle because of the heaven to earth connection. Apostle had been walking in his apostolic office long before he actually acknowledged that, you know, he was an apostle. God was grooming him. He might have not been completely in the office, but he was operating in strong aspects of it years before he ever, you know, brought it forth that God called me to be an apostle. But he said, the Lord told me when you came in and I spoke to you that you were going to be a member of my church. And I just, yes, sir. That same year, the same year, or right into the next year, the School of Ministry, at that time it was called the School of Ministry, was about to start up. And the Lord now prompted me in my spirit that I needed to be a part of that school. I was a part of the charter class. And from that point on, my life has been on one constant increase from a spiritual perspective. Growing in the things of God, being planted right. The call was there, and technically, and I'm getting ahead of myself, it was confirmed by the apostle, because he said, no, you got a call of God on your life. You know, I knew it on the inside, but I didn't know how to go about doing anything about it, and just didn't want to just open up some work on my own. But the groundwork was laid. The call was there, and the actual, I didn't give you all seven steps. But the first step is call. The second step is commission. The third step is competence. The fourth step is conduct. The fifth step is continuity. The sixth step is confidence. And the last one is control. And all of these are found in your book, The Spirit of Honor, around page 154. Amen. So if you do have a book and you want to read up on these, they are in the book. Praise God. All right. Let's continue on with the aspect of being called. Anyway, I was reading why he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you are called into ministry, you have been given as a gift to the body of Christ. You always got to see yourself as being a gift, okay? Amen. All right, one of the things you all, I also want to let you know that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So once you get that call, you can't renege from it. And you're not going to be satisfied until you fulfill it. Another verse of scripture I want to leave with you is Psalms 127 and 1. It says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waited in vain. So you want to make sure that the Lord is building this house. You know what I mean by a house, building you upon a foundation. You know, you got to have a foundation. You know, you in ministry, you want to start with a good foundation. And that's sitting under somebody who already has an established foundation. So now your foundation is going to be strong. Amen. And you have somebody to speak into your life, somebody to correct you, somebody to motivate you and to propel you in the ministry, propel you into your gift, propel you into your calling. All right. Jeremiah 1 and 5. I might have already quoted it. God told Jeremiah that he was called. OK, in Jeremiah 1 and 5, it says, behold, I have formed thee in thy belly. I knew thee before thou camest forth out of thy mother's womb. I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah was called even before he was born. You know, said, I've called thee. You know, I knew thee before. You see, and that's called predestination. In Ephesians, it talks about that, you know, how God has chosen us before him, before the foundations of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blame and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God preordained and predestinated us according to the good pleasure of his will. But see, here's the key. This is why it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says as many as are, you know, if you're a child of God, you need to expect to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, my sheep hear my voice. A stranger's voice they will not hear. Learn how to hear the voice of God, and even more so than learning how to hear it, learn and understand the importance of obeying the voice of God. Suppose I would have left and went on my own sidetrack when Apostle told me that I was called, and then he didn't even tell me to join the church. He told me that I can come and sit and glean from his ministry. He said, I'm not asking you to leave your church, but you know, I do feel you need to be pastored. You feel free to come and sit and listen and glean from my ministry. And I stayed away for about a year, maybe 2 years. But on that day when I went, and I was open because it was the Christmas holidays, and I said, well, my wife said, let's go to Word of Life. I said, okay, well, let's do that. And we did, and the Lord spoke, and the rest for me has really been an uphill, and it wasn't a climb. It was just, you just kept soaring. You just kept rising. Things start to change in my life, in my ministry, in every aspect of my life, you know, family and all. Why? Because now you begin to, you start to walk into the will of God. And that's pivotal and that's key. Amen. All right, let's just look at some aspects of people who were called. Ezekiel was told by God he was called. The Apostle Paul constantly opens up his writings by saying that he was called by God. In Ephesians 1:1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. You know, even Ananias, God told Ananias that Paul was a chosen vessel. In Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, God tells Ananias that Paul was a chosen vessel. He says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, all through the Bible, you look at illustrations of people who were called. And once you're called by God, even if it's the ministry of helps, you acknowledge that. And when people ask me, I let them know that I'm in prison ministry. That I'm a master life bearer, or you know, I work with evangelism, or whatever it is. You know, I'm an instructor in the school of ministry, because that's a part of your calling. You know, I didn't appoint myself to this position. I was appointed by delegated apostolic authority. You know, but the key is first acknowledging the call. You know, letting the man of God know that I feel like I have a call of God on my life, you know, and he will instruct you and give you the direction to so that that calling could be calling can make itself sure. Amen. All right. In 2 Peter, let's see, do I want to read this? Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10, 12 and 13. It says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. That word diligence is it means a consistent and earnest effort to accomplish your undertaking, persistence to your assignment. So here it says, wherefore, there, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Therefore, verse 12, therefore I will not be negligent to putting you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet or necessary, as long as I am in this temple, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of the gift of God that's on the inside of you. That's apostolic order there. That's Paul admonishing Peter, admonishing Timothy, acknowledging Titus, whoever he was talking to at any given time, stirring up the gift that's on the inside of you. One of the things that the apostle does, especially if you're a minister, you got to call it, he knows how to stir the gift of God on the inside of you. You know, when you hear his teaching, that's an apostolic call, you know, stirring you up and putting you in remembrance, holding you accountable to what God's called you to do. And you can't help but be successful. You can't help but walk in honor when you stir it up by apostolic government like that, to that degree. Romans 11 and 29 says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Romans, now this is the Amplified Version, which is expounded on that, those four or five words, a whole lot more. Romans 11 and 29 Amplified Version says, for God's gift and his call is irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they have been given out. He never withdraws them once they have been given out. And he does not change his mind about those in whom he has given his grace or to whom he sends his call. Read that one more time. That's a lot. That's heavy hang over your head. In other words, you're held accountable for the call of God on your life. Romans 11, 29, Amplified, one more time. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given out, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Amen. I can't even amplify on that. That's amplified as much as you can amplify. Moving on. Ephesians 4:1-6, and I'm not going to read it all. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation and office wherein you are called. You said, Brother Greg, why are you reading these scriptures? Why are you sharing this with us? I'm talking about the call. Solidifying the call. When you solidify something, you make it concrete. Solidifying it. Because if you wishy-washy about it, you're never going to walk into it like you want to. And if you never, like God wants you to, and if you never walk in it like God wants to, you will never walk in complete honor. Because you honor God when you fulfill the will of God for your life. Amen? All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1. This is Amplified Bible. Well, let me read from the King James first. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Now, the Amplified Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal, and I beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Amen. You know, so all through the Bible, we see the importance of recognizing and knowing the call. As I said, these are steps. These are seven steps to receiving the rewards of honor. And the first step, as I stated, is call. And we're going to get to, before the end of this session, commission. And then the next sessions, we'll get to the competent, the conduct, the continuity, the confidence, and the control. All of these seven steps are vital in you fulfilling the call of God upon your life. Amen. All right. We do not give or bestow on ourselves gifts and talents, or take what gifts we want. Jesus gives gifts unto men. Every good gift comes from God. In other words, you can't qualify yourself. You can't gift yourself. All right, let me move on. Okay, this here is talking about stirring up, okay? Wherefore, I put ye in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting forth of our hands. Now this is found in Timothy. And I'm trying to see exactly where I'm starting off with that. Okay, let me just read it from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 1 through 9. I may not read it all, but it says, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God, whom I serve from my forbearers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers night and day. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, having mindful of thy tears, that I may be fulfilled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned love or the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Verse 6, and this is the one I read early, but I wanted to make sure we read the scriptures prior to that. He says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. This is apostolic order in operation. That number one, urging him to stir up the gift, and hands was placed upon him. There have been situations in the Bible where anointings or commissions have been transferred to men of God when something was placed on him or hands was laid upon him. Okay, and we're going to look at some of these too. Let me just read on a little bit further. Verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor be of me his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, whom had saved us and called us with a holy calling. This is verse 9 of 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Whom had called us with a holy calling, not according to our words, but according to his on purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Predestination. Amen. All right. God calls us, but we're commissioned in most cases, well, should be in all cases, by men of God. And this is where we're going to get into the second phase of it real soon, where there's a commissioning. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah, who was serving his family on his family farm, was actually commissioned at that time by Elijah after he was instructed, instructions from Elijah were received by Elijah from God. For Elijah to be honored as a prophet, he must first show honor by ministering to Elijah, the man of God, or his spiritual father. Let me read that again. For Elijah, with the A, to be honored as a prophet, he first had to show honor to by ministering or serving Elijah, the man of God that he called him to. See, that's another aspect. Once you're called, you find that man of God or the person God has wants you to sit under and serve. Elisha served Elijah for more than 20 years. I think it was about 18 years or so. Might have been a little over. I think it might have been a little over, about 20 years. And never left his man of God and stayed close to him. That's very important. In the call, you want to stay close to your man of God. You want to stay close, even though you might be distances away, but through the internet, through, you know, all the electronic age, you can always stay close to your man of God. Stay close to his anointing. Amen. 1 Kings 19, verses 16 and then 19 and 21. And I'm going to probably jumble up some of these words, but we're going to definitely make sure the right words get pronounced. Now this is, and Jehu the son of Nisha had thou anointed. This is God's telling Elijah what to do in the cave. He says, and Jehab the son of Nisha shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah the son of Shephat of Abelma shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So here God is telling Elijah to anoint Elisha to be prophet in his house. So he departed hence and found Elijah the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. That was a commissioning. He was doing what the Lord called him to do, and it was a form of commissioning him. And then this is what happened next. And he left the ox and ran after Elijah. This is Elisha. And said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back, for what have I to do with thee? This is Elijah speaking to Elijah. He said, go back. What have I to do with thee? He says, I didn't call you, but by casting his mantle on Elijah, he was confirming the calling that God had already spoke to Elijah about. Okay. But what God was doing was commissioning him and now appointing Elijah to sit and to serve in Elijah's court or Elijah's house, or to serve and wait on Elijah. And he turned back from him and took the yoke of ox and slew them and bore the flesh. This is Elijah. With the instruments of the ox, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he, which is Elijah, rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him, served and waited upon Elijah. He did that, like I said, for 20 years, and he never left his man of God. You know, that's the key. If you want that anointing, if you want to walk in honor, the key here is honor. If you want to walk in honor, you have to serve your man of God. Amen. Listen up. Elijah followed after Elijah to serve him. Elijah's mantle, which represented the anointing, was cast upon Elijah. He began to follow Elijah, preparing for ministry. You must pursue. Listen to this. You must pursue your man of God. Your man of God will not pursue you. You must pursue your man of God. Your man of God will not pursue you. And that's so very important. A lot of people think that the apostle or the prophet is going to pursue them. No, the apostle and the prophet is going to say what thus said the Lord. And then now it's up to you to make the determination that I'm going to do what God has called me to do. You know, and that's the key here. You know, 2 Kings 3:11. This is here because of Elijah's serving. Because of Elijah's serving to Elijah, this is what transpired. It says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on Elijah's hands. In other words, here I know a man who poured water on the prophet's hand. In other words, he served him. He washed his hand, washed his feet, made sure he had something to eat, carried his bags, whatever Elijah required of Elijah to do. He served. He waited upon Elijah. And so they knew that, hey, he must have had something because of his service. You see, service like that don't go without God blessing you. I mean, there's going to be some rewards from the service. Amen. All right. To reap the rewards of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. Never disconnect. All right. Don't be like the other sons of the prophets who stayed in a distance. They became secret disciples. Those who stayed in the distance didn't get nothing. Okay, let me read on. And Elijah said unto, now this is 2 Kings 2:2. Elijah continued to serve Elijah up to the end until Elijah was caught up in the whirlwind. Okay, it says here that, and Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. It could be a supernatural money to come to you conference in our essence. And the Lord is telling us, you know, the prophet might be saying, you know, stay here. Or the apostle might be saying, come if you want to come. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. So here Elijah with an A is making the determination. I've been told to serve Elijah. I want what's on his life. In order for me to get what's on his life, I have to stay close. I have to keep my eyes on him and watch and see what he does so that the transferring of anointing, so that the transferring of the mantle can take place, so that I can now operate in that same spirit that Elijah operated in. And so basically, Alexis, stop. I got 2 minutes left. All right, let me read on. 2 Kings 2:4. And he says, the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth. I will not leave thee. So they went to Jericho. So in the second aspect, he was going to Jericho. And Elijah says, hey, as my soul liveth and the Lord liveth, you know, I'm not going to leave thee. I'm going to go with you. Okay, here again, 2 Kings 2:6-7. And Elijah said unto him, tarry thee, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan to do some health seminars. You know, stay here. And he said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, secret disciples, I called them. And they too stood by Jordan. So there were 50 sons of the prophet that just kind of hung around. They didn't connect properly. They didn't serve. They just stayed in the distance, thinking that they could get something by you know, just being a secret disciple. Notice all but Elisha was the one who stood close, received a double portion. He says here, Elijah was honored because he served faithfully his man of God and received all that he needed in ministry. Don't leave before the process is complete. And just to kind of read, and I got a few more minutes, about a minute left. And it was so. And when they crossed over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elijah said, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken up, it will be so. If not, it will not be so. Then it happened, and as they continued on and walked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah said, saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he rent them. Amen. All right, my time is up. But then the mantle fell, and Elijah took the mantle and ran to the Jordan and smote it, and the waters parted. And he knew that he had the Elijah's anointing. And then the prophets, sons of the prophet, they went and they stood by him, because now they recognized he got something that we didn't get. But it's the call and then the commission, and there's service involved.